Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Big Joe Dubin. Michelle Konezvic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. Chris Mason was on the broadcast with Willie Donick and myself last night for draft night in Smashville. See, Mace, what's going on? How we doing?
I'm doing great, and I was pleasantly surprised to hear who's filling in for Rexro. Joe, one of my favorite Twitter follows. Man, I just crack up every time, either your sarcasm and your love for Jared Stillman. And I love the ones, yeah, I talked to LeBron James. Well, he's the one that works with O'Reilly. It wasn't that LeBron James. Oh, my God, and you just cracked me up all the time.
This LeBron was at the Jiffy Lube over off Donaldson Pike over there.
I love doing that. Oh, it just inflames so many people. And hey, by the way, when I get a shout out from a former Augsburger Panther All-Star like Chris Mason, my day is set. So thank you, sir.
That's awesome.
Where is Augsburger, by the way?
It's Augsburg is about 40 minutes west of Munich.
Oh,
if that helps.
Kinda. Is that near Tullahoma? I think.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. Well, see, Mace, it was an eventful day yesterday. I want to start with this because you and I and Willie talked about this a lot last night. What do you make of the Blackhawks basically nuking their team right now with DeBrinket being traded out, Kirby Dach being traded out? You know, they got three first-round picks ultimately with the moves they made yesterday, but it's hard to kind of understand what they're doing right now with some of those young players they've just traded out.
It really is. I mean, when you think of a team that's, you know, trying to rebuild, I understand they have to clear some cap space, but you just traded probably your two best pieces to rebuild a team around with DeBrinket and Kirby Dach. And obviously, DeBrinket's a young kid scoring 40 goals already, and you know, you trade the kid out for $6 million. If you went to the free agent pool and try to sign like a guy like that, you're paying $8.5, $9.5 million. So it's tough to really understand that one. I know they're kind of strapped with some of the other contracts with the Taves and Kane and, you know, Seth Jones, obviously. But I really just have a tough time like understanding how you're going to rebuild your team when you just traded, you know, your two best pieces. And then you take a bad contract to get a goalie in Mrazek. Obviously, somebody's got to fill that position. Maybe he bounces back. But, you know, people, you know, you look at talking about Twitter and social media, and it's tough to find anybody say anything really positive about those moves. So just real head-scratcher, to be honest with you, and I don't quite get it. You do get the extra picks, but again, we're talking about last night. This is all – it's all a gamble. It's all – who knows if this kid's going to – you know, pan out and you're, you know, especially turn into an Alex DeBrincat. That's like, you know, needle in a haystack type of stuff there. So really, really confusing moves there by the Blackhawks for sure.
So C-Mace, the Preds select Joakim Kemell last night in the first round, a winger out of Finland who was playing in the Finnish Elite League this past year, was putting up good numbers, had some shoulder problems that held him back a little bit as well. I know we watched a little bit of tape on him last night. What's been kind of your reaction to that pick and the reaction that you've seen around the league to that pick? Some people had him in the top 10. Some people had him in the top 5 in terms of prospects that the Predators snatched up at pick number 17 last night.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I have to go. I kind of have to defer to the experts in this because I don't follow the amateur circuit as closely, you know, as a lot of people do. A lot of people, you know, make their living on making these, you know, scouting reports and draft lists and all this kind of stuff. They put a lot of work and time into scouting these kids. And, you know, the fact that this kid was rated as high as second overall and he fell to 17, as you mentioned, he got hurt in the second half of the season, came back in a little slower second half. But the kid's, in, you know, 18 years old. He's playing with men. He's, you know, putting up, he's scored the most rookie goals in the league. And the size of, but all the reviews about this kid are that Nashville got an absolute steal, you know, and he's the type of player that, you know, the Predators want. And, this, you know, who doesn't want a guy that can skate fast and score goals? But again, you know, you're getting a young kid and a lot has to happen, you know, between now and then to you find out if he's a viable NHL player, but the fact that they're getting that pedigree where everybody speaks so highly of him, and literally everybody after that pick said that Nashville got probably the steal of the first round. So all positive things, and I hope he comes in for rookie camp here next week, because I'd love to get a good look at him live.
Chris, we were reading some of the reports about how he fell to 17. They're like, yeah, it could be the steal of draft for the Predators. And you hear that sometimes, all the time. But yeah. I want to ask you about the anticipation. You got drafted back in 1995, and you see guys go, your teammates get drafted, you know, other goaltenders get drafted, and you're waiting on your name called. What's that anticipation like before you hear your name thinking, is this me? Is this me? That would drive me crazy.
It is crazy. You know, and for me, it was different because I was just happy to be there. I honestly was. And I just, you know, I was telling the story last night. I actually went to the draft, and the only reason I did is because it was in Edmonton, an hour away from my home. Otherwise, there's no way I would have went. But I was getting nervous because I had interviewed with the team. And so every time they came up, I knew it wasn't going to be the first few rounds, but you know, around 4 and 5, when I ended up getting drafted, I started to get nervous, and you just hope, you know, with every fiber of your being that your name gets called. And you know, I'm sure it's different for those, you know, high prospects, but that's the one thing I liked about Yoakum last night, because I asked him that, you know, he's ranked second to 10, like he was a top 10 pick, and then, you know, once those picks start going into 11, 12. You wonder if a kid's sitting there just going, God, how far am I going to fall? Who am I going to go to? But it is nerve-wracking. But then as soon as your name's called, it's just like all that, whatever, that nervous anxiety or whatever you're feeling, all those emotions just disappear. And it's almost like a surreal experience that, you know, you got your name called and to an NHL team. For me, it was, you know, that's something I dreamed about my entire life, and when I heard my name, it was just all that stress and everything just disappeared, and it was just like walking on a cloud.
Chris Mason on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So see, Mace, we are 5 days away now from the beginning of NHL free agency, and while there seems to be progress on the Philip Forsberg front, he has not signed a deal yet to this point. If you're a Preds fan, how are you feeling today about the Forsberg contract situation?
Well, I think, you know, I understand everybody's urgency to get this done, but it just goes like this. This is just part of it. They're at the final stages of, you know, tweaking the minute little details, closing the gap a little bit. Give me this, I'll give you that type of thing. I honestly feel I would be shocked if this doesn't get done, but I understand that, you know, the Preds fans want to just get this done. You know, then we can, you know, shift our focus to who we're going to get free agency, or are we going to trade for somebody, that type of thing. So it's a tough time. And believe me, it's a tough time for Phil too right now, and for the organization, because they put so much effort into this. He wants to be here. You know, obviously the team wants him here. There's no question about that. So I guess the outside chance that it falls apart or it doesn't get done, I mean, that would be a tough pill to swallow for everybody. You know, the Preds have been through this in their past before with Ryan Suter, and you lose a player and you don't get anything, or maybe you're able to trade his rights at the 11th hour to a team that's going to sign him and get something for compensation, and then you're going to have to go to plan B or C or whatever it is and try to sign somebody in free agency. But I really believe this is going to get done.
What if he doesn't get done, Chris, and he goes and signs someplace else? I actually said, for some weird reason, he's going to sign with the Devils. I have no idea. It was just a stupid, bold prediction. I don't know why. And then I found out like you get drafted by the Devils, so it makes perfect sense now.
That's right.
What does it say about around the league with other players if Forsberg doesn't sign here? Does it send a message like, well, Nashville probably can't win, so let's don't go there? I mean, does this have a collateral damage effect if he doesn't re-sign here?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, Nashville is in a spot now where they've really solidified their relevancy as a good hockey club and an organization. You know, there's so many agents, players that are connected. I don't think so. And I think players really take themselves, every negotiation, such an individual thing. And, you know, sometimes it's a player. I'm not saying it's Forsberg, but sometimes it's a player that walks away and like, well, you know what? I'm going to try to get more money somewhere else. And it's the business part of the game, and that's the part that's hard, I think, it's hard for a player, really, to accept, too. That's why I usually have representation for the fans, you know. And to me, being in that situation and made those decisions based on, you know, those types of things. At the end of the day, I can tell you from my experience that it is not always greener on the other side. Yes, you might get a few more dollars and cents somewhere else, but if you have a place that you love and that you want to be, especially when we're talking about, you know, $8 to $9 million a year, you do the right thing and just get it done. You know, be where you want to be. It's not worth it to go and, you know, potentially, you know, try to play the rest of your career somewhere. It may work out, it may not, but again, I don't think there will be any collateral damage if it doesn't get done, but I strongly believe 99.999% it's getting done.
Nicely done. Huh? Good prediction there. I just go back to when Paul Kariya signed here, when a lot of people were like, what? Nashville? What? Why? And then to me, for some reason, Chris, that just put the Predators on a different level when Kariya signed here back in 04 and 05, because it was not being talked about as the destination place to go, and Paul Kariya made it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was on the team that year, and even like us as players, when he signed, because we don't get any, it's not like anyone asks us, hey, what do you think of Paul Kariya? You know, we find out when everyone else finds out, and it was one of those things, you know, social media wasn't as in the know and as prevalent then, so there wasn't any leaks of, well, you know, Paul Kariya is talking to Nashville, and also, they announced it, and it was everybody, I think, in the hockey world was like, wow. And that's when we started to get good. They did such a good job of bringing in the right guys. We started having some draft picks that started really developing well, and you saw that team, you know, had a future and was a good, solid hockey team. But I agree with you, and that kind of changed. There's been some pinnacle moments, I think, you know, in the Preds' organizational history, and that was one of them. That was kind of like, wow, well, you got a superstar that wants to come here, because all we heard and you guys heard is, well, Nashville's not a hockey market. They'll never, you know, they'll have to just scratch and claw to get in the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. And it changed the landscape. It was a different thing. And kind of ever since then, it's, you know, been climbing to the point it is now where, like I said, there's just a major respect around the league now from the players about this organization, about this team.
Yep, no question about it. And rounds 2 through 7 coming up later today in the NHL draft. Moves still being made. Ville Husso just traded from the Blues to the Red Wings, signing a 3-year deal with the Red Wings. So some goaltenders on the move. We'll see what else happens coming up later today as the NHL draft continues to take place. C-Mace, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
Absolutely. You as well. Chris Mason, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025.
And when we come back, I got a quick Chris Mason story about how much of a badass he is.
Okay.
When we come back.
I would love to hear that. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexro here on 1025, 1063, The Game. The Nashville Sounds hit the road to take on the Columbus Clippers, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians. You can catch all the action tonight on 94.9 The Fan, starting at 6:05. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in. Robbie Stanley, Joe Dubin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
So here's my Mason story. Okay. It was 2006, I think it was. They had lost to the Minnesota Wild. The Preds were up like 5-1 and lost like 8-6. Some crazy score. And Mason was the goaltender. And it was just a bad game. He had those. So you wait in the locker room after the game, and you're thinking, well, he's not going to come. You know, because you cover the Titans. Titan players get out of the locker. They don't talk to you. They get out of the locker room, and they're gone. I'm like, he's not going to, you know, he's not in his locker. He's not going to talk to us. And then he shows up, and he apologizes for being late.
Yeah.
To talk about this awful performance he had, and he stood there, and Robbie, I promise you, he took every question for about 15 minutes. And when it was over with, he's like, hey, thank you guys for sticking around. I was just like, this, the professionalism to separate what he just did on the eye. He didn't have to talk to us.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm not going there. And been a real smart aleck. Perfect. I was like, this dude, thank you from the media perspective. Nobody loves us anyway, but the simple fact where you stood up and took every single question, thank you. And that was the thing, too, with – I always get upset with – like when Jason Arnott was here,
yeah,
he would come and talk to the media after every single game. would talk to the media after every single, even if he didn't play or not, he was still in the locker room. But when Weber was captain, never happened. Yeah. And then sometimes I remember asking, well, why is Weber not talking? Well, nobody requested him. He is the captain of your hockey team. Make him speak whether he likes it or not. I don't care if he gets up there and he mumbles four words, which he did a lot of the times.
He did.
And, you know, but don't ask him about fantasy baseball. He won't shut up. But if you're the captain, go speak. You know, and then, you know, I always admired Mason for doing that.
That's, well, Pekka, same way. Like, Pekka, you know, basically got his heart ripped out of him in that Game 7 of the Winnipeg series. And to his credit, I mean, he stayed out there. He addressed the media and faced the music.
Yeah. That's just, to me, that's something that's inside of you that you want to do. And oftentimes when you've covered the Titans, you get nothing. I mean, I remember Vince Young sprinting past me the shoulder pad game. I'm like, where's he? Must have to go to the bathroom. He's running out of that locker room so fast.
So weird.
And then he's gone, and him and Michael Griffin are basically fighting, arguing in the tunnel to what's going on there. And I kudos to Michael Griffin for trying to calm him down at the time, and then Vince was gone, and we never saw him after that. But that's why I've always loved Chris Mason for that.
Yeah, he's a Class A guy. You were going over the 95 NHL draft.
Yeah.
Which Mason was a part of, fifth round by the Devils, but interesting draft that year.
There was. I was going to look at the thing, and I can tell you now, there were 234 players selected in the 1995 draft. There are one, two, this is interesting, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine guys that were made the NHL All-Star team.
Yeah.
Nine out of 230.
Crazy.
My Lord. And one of those guys, we talked about him, and Preds fans remember this. How do you pronounce his name?
Stefan Robida.
Yep.
Yeah.
And immediately we both looked at each other like, 2-2, like that. And
got smoked.
March, that was St. Patrick's Day, 2007. Yeah. And for those who don't know, 2-2 had checked.
Mike Modano. Yeah.
Pretty bad. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it was good hit in the boards.
And then so Robida went to go after 2-2, and 2-2 spun around.
Cleaned his clock.
Glove
in
on.
In one motion.
And that dude,
Robida, was knocked out on the ice for about 20 minutes.
Fell to the ground, and I was like, and I'll tell the story, and you seem to like it, but the very next day when I was work at Channel 2, I had four police officers come to Channel 2 and said, they need to see me. I'm like, oh God, what did I do? Did I run somebody off the road? I don't remember. And they wanted a copy of that hit for training to say, this is how you do not approach a suspect.
Yeah.
That's why I vividly remember the play, the hit, and everything right there. You do not approach a suspect that way, because he just went right upon, and it was the perfect storm, because Tutu just turned around immediately and squared.
Smoked him.
Yeah. And he just fell to the ground. And I thought the guy was dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. And one of those things, and they were like, we want to tell our recruits that this is not how you approach somebody. And maybe Robida should have seen the tape before that.
Should have watched the video.
But my God, I mean, he's still my favorite. I know Pekka has a lot of love, but those early days when the Preds had zero chance and Tutu gave 100% of everything he had to make sure that other team knew what was going on.
Yeah, it was.
Legend. I mean, I loved that guy.
There was some crazy altercation.
Do you still have the whistle, the 2-2 whistle?
There's all over there. Every time he stepped foot on the ice, like you could never sneak him on the ice at Bridgestone. Like 14,000 2-2 whistles going off at the same time.
That's like we had the picture of who's wearing number 22 that I got mad at yesterday.
It was their draft pick. It was
that was this
Yoakam
morning.
Kamel.
Was it this morning I was doing that rant?
It was.
Oh, I was mad. I was like, why is he wearing 22? And Robbie very calmly like, I think it's because it's the 2022 draft. I was like, okay. All's good now. I'll stop being mad about that. But I was highly irate that he was wearing number 22, man.
You were.
Did not like that at all.
It'll always be 2-2's number to you.
Always. Yeah. Do we have a bobblehead in here of him somewhere?
I don't know. We got a lot in here.
In honor of Tutu, the bobblehead should be broken, right? Just because that's the way he played the game.
That's right. We'll see what happens on the Forsberg situation. There was a meeting yesterday between the Predators and Philip Forsberg's representatives. This according to Darren Dreger yesterday. Obviously, no deal coming to fruition yesterday, but we'll see if progress can continue to be made. It is July the 8th, so that means NHL free agency is in 5 days on July 13th. So just a limited amount of time now for the Predators to get it figured out with Philip Forsberg. Pierre LeBrun putting it out there yesterday. The offer, as far as he understands it, from the Predators is still in the low eights, and Philip Forsberg still asking for in the high eights. It looks like they've got the no movement slash no trade clause part of this figured out, and it just comes down to the money now. But we'll see if there's any progress on that coming up between the Predators and Philip Forsberg. When we come back, it is time for the final edition of the week of Celebrity Breakfast.
Oh, we'll do it a little early. Okay, I like it.
Do it a little early.
I love it. Thank you.
Looking forward to that.
Which, by the way, Michelle Knezevic has rolled over one Robbie Stanley.
Really?
At the buzzer.
A clutch performance both times.
Yep.
By that Kentucky Michelle education.
Knezevic. That's what it is. Go Wildcats. BBN. Oh, we'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Celebrity Birthdays with Big Joe Dubin here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Which is the theme song from the second best TV series of all time. Number one is Miami Vice. Number two is the original Magnum P.I., not this garbage crap we've been fed the last 3 or 4 years with the reboot of Magnum P.I.
They're doing a Miami Vice pop-up bar in Nashville.
Really?
Fairlane Hotel, Miami Vice themed.
Wow.
When?
Now. They'll have it for like a certain amount of time.
Like this weekend or like?
No, yeah, it's going on currently. I saw it on TikTok.
Well, we know Fairlane, where Joe will be.
I mean, the first three seasons of Miami Vice are fantastic television.
Yeah, the inside's got all these neon lights. They've got the cars.
I'm gonna start crying.
You're welcome. We all know where Big Joe will be this
Fairlane
weekend.
Motel.
Fairlane, F-A-I-R-L-A-N-E, Hotel.
Is that close to the Airways Motel? Don't answer that. So somebody driving right now is laughing at that remark, so don't.
It's like Bird Box.
It is. All right, time for Celebrity Birthdays. This is a great, fun game. If you want to play, you got to get these birthdays within 2 years on either side. The thing is, somebody's 35, you say 32, it doesn't work. You say they're 36 and they're 35, it does work. So we'll start this. And yesterday, Michelle, we defaulted to you, but Robbie, you get to go today because you're 0-2 for the week as you try to make your way back into the winner's bracket against the great Michelle Knezevic. All right, our first birthday today is actor Jeffrey Tambor. He was in Mr. Mom. He's been in 1,000 different things. He might have been in Arrested Development, I think. Jeffrey Tambor.
62.
66.
78. Darn it. Famed chef Wolfgang Puck.
Okay. Wolfgang, I will go 84.
Forty-seven. 73.
Actress Angelica Houston, who used to date Jack Nicholson.
67.
58.
71. Oh.
We're getting there. Actor, the great Kevin Bacon, who's been in a few things.
He has been.
Yeah, it's always fun to play the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Somehow we know we're within us in this room are within 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
That's right.
How old is Kevin Bacon?
65.
68.
64.
Boom.
Robbie Stanley.
Boom.
He's 60. He looks good for 64,
he
too, because you remember him from Footloose. Toby Keith, who is undergoing, he's got stomach cancer. Hope that he beats that.
54.
50.
61.
Toby Keith is 61?
61.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go down to people that we've heard of here. Who is this? Never seen this guy. Oh, Beck. How old is Beck? And by the way, Beck, it's his birthday. But Beck had the concert at a Cinepa Theater that people in East Nashville were complaining about. There was some weird vortex where his music was coming like in the air and coming straight down like a neighborhood in East Nashville. It was a crazy story. They had all these phone calls like, I can't hear the concert, and it's after 10 o'clock, and this is unacceptable. Crazy. That's all I remember Beck. So how old is Beck?
59.
54.
52. Michelle is on the board. Well done, Michelle. Let's see who else in here. She was in 90210, actress Kathleen Robertson. She dated Steve Sanders.
64.
The old 90210?
Yes.
59.
49.
Oh, whoa.
It's not that
49.
Old. 49. Yeah. He was on he's on the TV show This Is Us. It's, and I cannot pronounce his last name, but Milo Parmigiana something. Vintimiglia. But he's on This Is Us.
42.
45.
45, exactly.
Wow. Bingo.
Michelle, well done with that. You're up 2-1 now.
Listen, I get the ages if I know who the person actually is.
That's usually how it works. Well, that's usually always how it works. Actor Jaden Smith. I guess that's Will Smith and Jada Pickett's son, Jaden Smith. He appeared as the son of Will Smith's character in The Pursuit of Happyness, yeah. Which, by the way, if you want an uplifting movie, that's just so sad. Good movie, though.
23.
28.
24. We're tied at 2. All right, 24. Speed round. Here we go. Legendary Vegas singer Steve Lawrence.
68.
58.
87. Drummer Jamie Johansson of the Allman Brothers. You know, Michelle, you know your drummers.
That's
the Allman Brothers drummer Jamie Johansson.
72.
64.
78. Children's singer Rafi. How old is Rafi?
Good Lord, I have no idea.
You got
74.
That. 59?
He's 74 exactly. Come on, Robbie. How do you know that? Singer Joan Osborne. Today's her birthday. She sings, remember, What If God Was One of Us?
Yeah. 66.
62.
60. Tied in 3. These games are awesome. My favorite comedian out there right now, he's just fantastic. Comedian Sebastian Maniscalco. How old is he?
54.
I love Sebastian. And 48.
49.
Oh, man.
Michelle's up 4-3. Oh, we just got a few. We're down to the wire here. Lead guitar player for Jars of Clay, Stephen Mason.
46.
41.
47. We are tied at 4. It's come down to this. The lead guitar player for Arctic Monkeys, Jamie Cook. I don't know a single song they sing. I've never heard of him until just now, but he's a celebrity. How old's Jamie Cook?
31.
Jamie is a nice 45.
Oh, he's 37. So... We're tied. I got to find one more birthday here to see if we can get out of it with. All right, the lead guitar player for Haircut 100, a very popular 80s band.
Yes.
Hint, hint, wink, wink. Graham Jones. How old is he?
I will go 67.
64.
Oh. He's 61.
Oh, my God.
And that's the end. So,
a tie.
Like a great soccer match that nobody's going to remember, we all tied. Good job. Michelle, you did
that's
well.
That's progress
though.
For me. I didn't lose.
Yeah, Michelle was down 3-2 and battled back. You made it 4-3. Then Robbie gets one, makes it 4-4. So, but you got Rafi, whoever it was, at 74.
On the dot.
On the dot. So, that's nice.
This game has changed my life.
It is.
I find myself just wanting to play this all the time now.
You'll look at celebrities like, I wonder how they'll... And you know, we were always wrong. And like, I mean, Kevin Bacon, think that he's 64 years old. Toby Keith, he's 61.
I couldn't believe that.
Toby Keith, 61 years old. And that's, it's just, these ages are just crazy.
Andrew from Dover on the text line says, Joe, do you remember the days of the Nashville Cats?
Absolutely, I do.
Of course you do.
Yeah, they were great. They had the hot tubs and the Bridgestone Arena. They were great, fun games. Andy Kelly was a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Fleming on the team.
Tim McGraw.
Big Daddy Gaddy, Tim McGraw was down there. Yeah, those were really fun games. But Sperduto. But I always thought that arena ball would have succeeded in cities that didn't have football teams already.
Correct.
Like maybe Memphis or maybe Birmingham that didn't have an NFL team. Knoxville, Lexington. But I think Lexington ended up having an AFL 2 team at some point. But I remember the Cats. They were a lot of fun. A lot of fun, those games. They went to the Arena Bowl Championship one year.
Yeah.
Got beat. Yeah, the Cats were – that was fun. They were here.
Fast moving.
Left for a year or two. They came back. I think Mike Keith called.
I think so.
The Titans or Bud Adams bought the franchise. And then so they used the same personnel who covered the Titans who had to work on the Cats games.
Hey. Mike Heath, call football anytime he wants. He's pretty good at it.
Can you get a 6 degree of separation with Kevin Bacon right now?
I don't think so.
That somebody you know that knows somebody that knows somebody. I'm sure we could figure it
out. Not off the top of my head. But I have heard of this.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
It was a lot more fun 20 years ago when all these were the movies. But then you always come up with weird connections that know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody.
Just and, knows Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, and it's just it's like a humble brag. Like, I know, you know, Steve Cropper, the guitar player, who knows Dan Aykroyd, who was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Kevin Bacon. And it's funny, people are like, oh, he wasn't in that movie. Remember the beginning of Dan Aykroyd knew Steve Martin, who knew Kevin Bacon, because they're in the movie, because Kevin Bacon steals Steve Martin's cab at the beginning of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I know Robbie, and he knows Taylor Swift. So
that is true.
Yeah.
Henry on the text line says, Haircut 100, Love Plus One is the greatest 80s song ever, much like Dubin is the greatest guest host ever. Okay, not really. This is coming from Henry on the text line.
Half of that was true, the part about me. But no, that's Love Plus One. Is that right? Love Plus One. Yeah. Great song. He's right. It was a great song.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We will wrap up today's edition of Robbie and Rex Road coming up next. This is 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley alongside Big Joe Dubin, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you. We have determined that I suck at celebrity birthdays.
No, you did well. Michelle was just a little bit better than you. I mean, you guys tied. You went 0-2-1 for the week, so you got a point something.
I got a point.
Yeah, I always love that when in the playoffs when the Preds go to overtime versus somebody and you tweet out, hey, no matter what happens, at least they got a point. And then they –
like the series of, that's not how it works in the playoffs, Joe.
They just come tearing at you from all parts of the world. And you just sit back and laugh. It's like my tweets to the Iron Sheik about his cussing on Twitter. I'm always like, man, my kids follow you on here. They're 6, 4, and 3 years old. Do not cuss in front of them because they've repeated your cuss words to the sweet lady at Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And then people come back, you're the worst parent ever.
Why are you letting your children listen to this?
Then I counter back. It's like, I'm a single dad raising 5 kids. You don't know what I have to go through. And that starts a whole thing of this blowing things up, man. It goes crazy.
You have way too much fun on Twitter, which I enjoy thoroughly.
And that's the deal. You know, I've talked to you again. We'll bring up Rex Rhodes' name about all this. Just it's Twitter. You know, it's Twitter. That's all it is. You know, I'm on Twitter for breaking news, information, and to have fun and, you know, throw some comedy out there left and right with people. But if you take it too seriously, man, it could dominate your whole day. And I've been on Rex Road about that. I'm like, let it go. I mean, I'll see him go at people for anything. Like, yellow light should stay longer yellow than 2 seconds. And then they get into a battle. I'm like, stop it. Let it go. Also, we've done national days, you know?
Yeah.
So today's national days are today's National Collector Car Appreciation Day.
Oh, good. Yes. You a big car guy?
I am not. I don't.
As long as it gets me from point A to point B, I don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had my first car was a 1981 Datsun 310 GX. I had first gear and fourth gear.
Yeah.
So I came out hot. I'd right. smoke you. And then I'd go to fourth gear, and it was like, there they go. And so I was a boss man for about a second and a half. But you know what? That car that I had, the 81 Datsun 310 GX, I never changed the oil. I ran over countless mailboxes. That thing would not die. It just kept going and going and going. I never changed the air filter. I never changed the brakes. It just kept going, man. It was the best first car ever. What was your first car?
It was a 01 Dodge Ram, and the body of it was gray, and the hood was bright red. So I could never sneak around anywhere. Like, the entire city of Huntersville knew that. Hey, look, there's Robbie over there.
There's
How about
Robbie.
That? Yep.
And you go to your parents, hey, do you mind not? You got a car. You'll stick with that one. That's
right.
All you get.
That's right.
A few more here. It's National Ice Cream Sundae Day.
I could participate in that.
National Milk Chocolate with Almonds Day.
Leave the almonds out.
And finally, one that I'm going to not observe, Math 2.0 Day. I can honestly say I was the worst.
That?
I don't know. I was the worst math student in the history of McGavick High School.
Worse than The Rock.
Worse than The Rock. Rock was a better math student than I was. But I had amazing ability, though, to cheat off to the guy next to me. So as long as he knew his stuff, I was gold. That's how I got through a lot of part of high school. Good times, man.
Beautiful stuff. No question about it.
This is always the awkward last 8 to 9 minutes of the show. Like, what do you figure something out?
Well, I don't know where to go from math 2.0. I'm in my head trying to figure out what's math 1.0? How do you get to 2.0?
Did you ever fail a class in college?
Yeah, but that's because I didn't show up to it.
Oh, that will do
Me
it.
Me too.
Yeah.
What class was it?
I don't even remember.
What about
you,
Michelle?
It was my last semester there.
Mine was econ. That was a really hard one.
But econ 101 or?
Yep, econ 101.
Why'd you fail?
To be honest, I really just did not put a lot of effort in, which I should have. And I liked my journalism classes more. But if kids are listening, put effort into your classes. I'm about to be a professor, so please put effort in.
There you go. I always tell people, just show up. If you show up to class, just show up to class by some sort of osmosis. You'll get most of what they're talking about. If you don't go like Robbie, you'll fail. I failed at Sanford. I failed a general elementary college math class.
Okay.
Then I'm thinking, all right, general elementary, I mean, I could 4 + 4 = 8, right?
Yeah.
And it was a word problem. Like, weird, like if a white bear shows up on your porch, if a bear shows up on your porch and your house faces south, what color's the bear? I'm like, what in the hell does that have to do with math? You know, it's a black bear. No, it's a white bear. And they have that voice like you should have known something. But also, I was an expert at dropping and adding classes.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was at Sanford, they had a class called Stats. And I'm thinking,
rebounds.
Last night, Dale Murphy, 2 for 5. He's batting 400. And the first day, the professor says, just to let you guys know, this has nothing to do with stats. And I'm thinking, maybe I got in the wrong class. And then he starts explaining what the class is. And true story, as he's explaining the class, I walk out.
It's just like, I'm done. There's no point in me being here.
I walked out. I don't remember the teacher's name. I was gone. I dropped that class. But they should offer, for colleges, if you're listening, you should offer a stat class. There's a few classes you should offer, right? A stat class.
Yeah.
The history of Elvis.
Okay.
I mean, I'd take that class, right? Some of those classes like that, you should know. Maybe the history of Rolling Stones or whatever. Classes that make it exciting for you. I know one class or one school was doing had a whole semester about Andy Griffith.
Really?
And I've never seen more than 4 or 5 Andy Griffith shows, but that, you know, here nor there. But that'd be kind of a class I could get behind.
We got into a huge discussion one day on the show about have you ever used – math that you've learned past like the sixth grade, like if you used algebra,
great question,
geometry, any of that stuff. Like they used to always tell me, and this was my favorite line, we were talking about this the other day, like in high school, well, hey, you're not gonna have a calculator with you everywhere you go. It's like, well, joke's on you, buddy, because this smartphone came out after that, and I do have a calculator with me
right
everywhere I go. But like, have you used math that you were taught? Like, no. Have you ever used algebra in your life?
No. Like trigonometry? No. I haven't done all that stuff. Algebra 2? No.
So why do we spend so much time learning this?
They need to take classes on how to take out student loans, how to do your taxes.
Yeah.
How to figure out if something's wrong with your car.
I totally. You've got a great point there. Somebody tweeted out they should offer classes about mental health,
yes.
about do all that. And I totally agree with that. Instead of wasting time in a math class where I barely made it out of high school.
This turned into a huge thing. We had people yelling at us on the text line about how they use algebra on a daily basis.
I don't know how.
Are you an accountant or something?
I don't know.
Like, if you're an engineer, that's great. But you can learn that.
But you've learned it. But yeah, down your list. But there was a thing not too long ago. Somebody talked about, 30 years ago, if you were told you had a device in your hand where you can access any information in the world and contact anybody in the world, yeah, you use it to look up cat memes and argue against people on Twitter, you'd have been like, what in the world's going on?
And take pictures of yourself and put them on the internet. Us.
That's right. But that's a great question. I don't know. I've got go to account. Yeah. If I have math questions, I get, no, I don't need any of that stuff. Hell, I can't even use a protractor.
Viking Matt on the text line says, we had sports history in high school.
Yes.
It was awesome. It was in Saugus High in California.
Yes.
Sports history. Now, that's a class I could get behind.
Sure, why not?
Was your high school half indoor, half outdoor in California, Viking Matt? That would be so cool.
That would be fantastic. Michelle, you should do that.
David and Murfreesboro in all capital letters. Amen. Talking about our math discussion here.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, forget all that.
I feel like this is an issue. You know, in today's climate where people are divided on everything from sports to politics to whatever, like I feel like this is generally speaking something that most people would agree on.
I totally agree. It's funny, we had Mark Nagy on earlier and talking about Tennessee football and the history in the last 10 years, and he talked about how Schiano, they're going to bring him in, he said, boy, they thought that was going to unite the fan base of hiring him, and he said, in a weird way, it did.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, no. I mean, everybody came together and said, no, that's not going to happen. So there are weird ways of uniting people, and that math discussion is certainly that.
Big Joe, what do you got going on here in the next little bit at Main Street, Nashville?
So I'm headed down to Shelbyville tonight. I'm judging the state of Tennessee, some big chili cook-off.
Oh, boy.
So I will definitely be wearing a mask for that. That's going on down there with the chili cook-off.
For different reasons.
For a completely different reason that has nothing to do with COVID. That's going on down there. But, you can read the article at Main Street, Nashville. Follow us on the socials and back at work next Monday, launching our own YouTube channel and everything that's happening over there. So I'm really excited. No pressure, a lot of fun. It's kind of this here, but condensed to an hour.
Yeah.
Have a good time over there.
It is awesome. We appreciate you taking time to join us this week. It's always fun to have has been an emotional experience.
How much time we got?
We got about 30 seconds.
Okay. I just remember meeting you in 2008 at Panera and Hermitage.
There was that.
Because I know your aunt very, very well. She is a beautiful, beautiful woman, and she was just talking about getting you involved in sports.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to talk to some 15-year-old punk. And it turned out to be a young Robert Stanley.
Yeah, and I was a 15-year-old punk.
Yeah, we all were at some point, right?
That's how that conversation went. And here we are today talking about math on the radio together. How'd that work out for you?
Nice.
Good stuff.
Thanks, brother.
That's good to do. Appreciate you, Big Joe. We'll be back coming up at 6 a.m. on Monday. The DDC is up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.